This is Radio Influence, podcasting redefined.
They got him in the white trunks. He heard it.
Beautiful.
Oh, God.
That's beautiful. He's got it.
And he scores the top.
Wow.
And here comes as a mention. And it's all over. It's
nice.
All over. First round knockout.
Big
he's out. Rich Franklin retains his belt.
The one thing that I never thought in a million years would happen, happened.
The champion. The challenger. Here we go.
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
Welcome to the Labor Day edition of the MMA Report podcast. I am Jason Floyd. This is the interview edition of the MMA Report podcast. And on this edition, you are going to hear five conversations I've had over the past week. Up first, you're going to hear my conversation with Mike Rodriguez. Then you'll hear from Zach Cummings. Then we're going to talk to a pair of fighters who have got wins on Dana White's Contender Series, Jeff Molina and William Knight. And then the final conversation you're going to hear is a chat I had with Sherrod Blackledge, who fights on Tuesday's edition of Dana White's Contender Series. Of course, this is a podcast that I do try to get out on Sundays. However, did not have an opportunity to record this podcast on Sunday. Had my niece's birthday party, so it was that and got tied up in some other things. And literally, I think about 11 o'clock at night, I sat there and said, oh, crap, I forgot to do the interview podcast. But here it is here on Monday morning as I'm recording this here in Tampa. A nice and humid day outside here in Tampa. As you know, it's Labor Day weekend. I've had a good Labor Day weekend. Hopefully you guys have had a good Labor Day weekend as well. Of course, we're coming off the heels of the UFC fight card this past weekend, where we saw Alistair Overeem get a fifth round win over Augusto Sakai. Going to recap that fight card on Wednesday's edition of the MMA Report podcast. As of course, I'll be joined by my colleague Daniel Galvan. We'll talk about what we saw happen at UFC Vegas number 9, a card that went through a ton of changes. I was live on Osimo on Saturday as kind of the card just kind of went into the shambles of only having a 7-fight card. I saw, you know, the stat was it was the first 7-fight UFC fight card since 2005. Just a crazy number. And yeah, kind of like I said on Osmo, you really, if you're the UFC, you really got to kind of wonder why all these positive COVID tests happening in Vegas but not happening in Fight Island. Of course, they're going to go back to Fight Island here at the end of the month. So you know, obviously every week it's a new UFC event, so coming up on Wednesday, we'll take a look back at what happened at the UFC card and get you ready for this weekend's MMA, because not just do we have a UFC event, we have two Bellator events. Bellator event on Friday, Bellator event on Saturday, so we'll have we'll discuss that on the podcast. But want to first start off, the first interview is with Mike Rodriguez. Had a chance to catch up with Mike, and this was actually right before he took the short notice fight against Ed Herman for this weekend. And give you a little story. So I forget what day of the week, maybe it was like Monday or Tuesday that I talked to him. And I think it was like, I don't know, maybe Wednesday night. And I was planning to put it out on Thursday. Kind of got the message of like, hey, if you're going to put the Mike Rodriguez interview out, you might want to put it out ASAP, because it looks like he's got a new fight booking coming up. And but had a great conversation with Mike Rodriguez, kind of talking about everything. And a decent amount of the conversation was actually talking about, you know, kind of how he views his UFC run to this point. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who's coming off a win at UFC Vegas, Mike Rodriguez. Mike, appreciate the time, man. Obviously, you've been in the UFC now for some time. This past fight was the first time we had seen you in 2020. You know, and I've talked to a lot of fighters about this, of, you know, obviously we've all had to change our world, adapt to, you know, various things. For you, how would you describe 2020 for yourself?
I would say difficult. Yeah, it was real difficult. Because I was like in the groove, training like crazy, and then all of a sudden, all of that came to a halt soon as Corona hit. And I also was working at the time. I was bartending, so yeah, it sucked. But it's starting to smooth out. But the midst of it, like during the springtime, oh man, it was brutal. It was a struggle.
Even when the UFC started doing fights again, because of, I know, just talking to a lot of Northeast fighters, of the difficulties there were just to train, of, you know, whether you've created a home gym or, you know, how you were getting training session. Was there a point where you were like, I can't take a fight right now because I know I don't have the proper preparations?
Yeah, I did have that. I had that thought, but Joe, like, you know, he made it very clear. He's like, listen, as soon as we get a call or whatever, he's like, I already have plans to put you in the right position so you'd be able to get all the work that you possibly can need. So shout out for Joe for that. But yeah, at first I was like stressing about it because I was like seeing everybody else train and like just like getting text messages from other buddies. They're like, hey, we're training here at like 8 o'clock in someone's garage, you know, whatever. So it was cool. And then, so that's pretty much was the gist of it, but we made it work.
So when you're doing the garage workout, like I had a fighter say that, you know, they had to adapt, you know, they didn't have the wall pads at their house. So yeah, they used their car as the wall. Now, did you have to use anything unique?
No. The only thing I did get like, just do round, like did light sparring with Fabio Chavant and Sean Lowy in his garage. He was like, yo, speaking of that, he just texted me earlier today. It was like, yo, tomorrow, let's get some work in at the garage. So that's what we're going to do tomorrow.
But, you know, in terms of, obviously, you've gone through multiple UFC fight weeks, but this one was a unique fight week just because of, you know, the COVID aspect, the quarantine in the hotel, and, you know, of course, yeah, you get bumped up to the co-main event on fight day. Like, how would you describe fight week?
At first, it was very low-key. At first, I was, like, kind of, like, I guess you'd say like nervous, because I'm like, oh, it's gonna be, I got a feeling it's gonna be a shit show with all of this corona stuff, blah blah blah. But it was like very, very, very easy. I got there, they made us they checked our temperature, then they tested us, and then as soon as they tested us, we was quarantined for 24 hours. And then from that point on, every day we woke up, we got tested, we had like our own driver, so that there was no confusion or anything. Then weigh-ins, we go, weigh in, get tested again, and then we was quarantined till fight day. But it was awesome. It was great.
Like, I know how much you of a gamer you are. I just feel like, yeah, you're sitting in that hotel in Vegas and you're just gaming it up when you're, you know, not going through the weight cut and going through a training session.
So that's what I was stressing about. I'm like, oh man, this is going to be crazy. But Joe was like, listen, fair warning, there is absolutely nothing to do. So I advise you to bring your console. So I was like, all right. So I brought my PS4 and I was playing Ghost of Tsushima the whole time. But yeah.
I remember Yusuf Zalal had said to me, because he's now done it twice, he said the second time around, he goes, my biggest lesson was take an internet cord because you can't. The Wi-Fi may not be the best.
Yeah, so I tried to. So I brought an internet cord because I always like to be direct connect. So I brought one, and I get there, and I'm like talking to the people there. They're like trying to figure things out. Then the maintenance guy came. He's like, yeah, it's not gonna be able to do it. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, the modem in the rooms. Like, we disabled the LAN cord, and it was a shit show. But I was able to. I was just playing Ghost of Tsushima. Solo player game. So I was like, whatever.
In terms of your fight against Marcin, like, you know, like I asked this question to a fighter the other day. I said, what do you love and hate about the fight? And they pretty much talked about what they hate about the fight, of being, you know, critical about, you know, how they perform. But as you think about your fight, what do you love and hate about your performance?
I watched it like once. Watched the whole fight one time, and that was when we was at the airport. But I just flashbacks of me and being in the fight. I loved every moment of it. I think I was actually very proud of myself that he came in with a lot of heavy leg kicks and switching stances and stuff. And one, it didn't throw me off at all. And two, I adapted to his leg kicks right away. Like, I dressed him right away. He hit me with like one or two. Then he was trying to come for a third one, and I checked the third one. And then he tried to hit me with a fourth one, and I fucking definitely checked that last one. and it was like a loud crack and thud in the arena. So, but I felt great. I was happy with my performance through and through.
In terms of how the finish came, was that something you visualized all throughout this camp of you saw the victory coming that way?
So at first we was watching a little bit of footage and we was like warming up in the back. This was like 2 days before. And I told Jake and Mays, I think I'm going to head kick him because his rear hand was so low. And I'm like, oh, I just put my shin right there on the side of his neck. But then the whole game plan, what we always worked on was entering the clinch. We just worked on ways to enter the clinch perfectly. So when it happened, I got where I wanted was the clinch. And then I got in there. Then the finish was there. But I literally thought I was going to head kick him. I was like, for sure, I'm going to head kick him. For sure. But he went out from the clinch.
You know, one of the things about this pandemic era of fighting is, especially when they're doing fights here in the United States, there's so many opportunities. Mm-hmm. So is your mindset at this point of like, you know what, I just got to be ready to get that call at any moment of all of a sudden someone falls out or they need someone to step up? Is that kind of mentality in terms of when you're thinking about your next fight?
Yeah, man. So from the last fight, I'm totally healthy. So all we did was I took a week off and I've been going back to the gym these last 2 days. And so I'm just staying active, just so that when they do call me, they need to fill in. I'll be there to fill in. I don't beef with it.
You've now had 5 fights in the UFC. How would you describe your UFC run to this point?
Difficult. There's a lot of ups and downs. A lot of things have panned out. A lot of things happen in the lattice. I've been in the UFC, 3 years now? So just so many things happen within them 3 years. So, yeah, it's been a roller coaster ride.
Like, cool. As you think about the highs and lows of fighting, like,
yeah.
Would you say there's been a lot of lows in this past 3 years?
Yeah, for sure. I would say, yeah.
Like, how do you, like, when you have those days, like, whether it's a bad day in the gym where, you know what, your teammates, they just got the best of you that day.
Yeah.
For you, is it simply like it's rear view mirror immediately? Or is like, do you come in that mindset the next day in the gym, like, oh, I got to get him back. He got me yesterday. I got to get him back.
Yeah, I'm a very reflective person. I always like reflect on things. Always. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always reflect on things like and that's another thing. I always want to get better, always trying to improve. So I reflect on something and then I'm like, okay, how can we improve on that? If there's some footage just to be watched, I will watch the footage. If it's something to be read, I'll read what I need to read. I just always been that way. So I always got to reflect on how to get better. And that's what makes me better is me being so reflective. So. Yeah, I would just take the bad with the bad and just reflect on the bad and possibly not make the same mistakes that I made before.
Is that the stuff that keeps you up at night? Is those mistakes? Like I was listening to a show and they were talking to, I want to say it was a basketball show, and it was a player. He was kind of talking about how, you know, you watch yourself and it's just like when you step the wrong way and like that stuff just eats at you. Especially if you start to see it happen over and over again. Is that something for you of like when you sit there and watch yourself and you sit there and it just that stuff just eats at you of like, why did I do that there?
So before it used to. Before it used to drive me up the wall and I would be too caught up in a specific thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know? So I stopped doing that. One of the things that I have learned over like the last like year or so is like taking your emotions out of your performance for the most part. Mm-hmm. So it's like, so all right, let's say if like I throw a jab and I miss, I'm not gonna be like, oh fuck, I throw a jab. Like, nah, just go try a jab again. You know what I mean? Versus to getting so emotional, bent up. Because I used to be that same way. I used to look at old past performances and things of that nature, and it would literally stress me out. Like, I would be like, what the hell? I got to get better. Da, da, da. And I realized that wasn't getting me better. If anything, it was just causing – it was putting all this pressure and all this anxiety on me for no reason. So I started to take that out, and I started to seeing, like, my fights and jab, my wins, losses, and everything for what they are. It's just what happened. You know what I mean? It's just accepting what happened. Can I take that and see little things from there? Like, oh, I can do this better or do that better? Yeah, absolutely. But in terms of getting, like, my emotions behind it, nah, I had to get that out of there.
Was that something you realized, or was it yourself and people inside your inner circle that had seen that, and maybe there was something they said that kind of opened your eyes?
No, it's something I learned about myself. Within like the last like year and a half, I learned that about myself. I would, if I were to do something like in a fight and I would throw the wrong shot, it would be in my head and frustrate me through the fight that I missed that shot. And then if I try to throw it again, it will come off too telegraphed because I got too much emotion behind it. It just would start spiraling bad. So I just was like, yeah, you know what? Let me just not. Honestly, what made me switch that whole mindset was honestly watching The Last Dance with Michael Jordan and stuff.
Yeah.
So just like watching things like that and seeing how those top tier athletes perform, and they don't have any emotion in there, like when they miss or anything like that. You know what I mean? They just see the game for what it is, and they just play the best of their abilities. You know what I mean? And that's the mindset like I tried to run with.
Yeah, I'll tell you, watching that, and I love sports documentaries.
Yeah.
The Last Dance was just so good because I think primarily because of Michael Jordan is such this mystique of an athlete.
Yeah.
And to kind of see, like, one of the defining moments of that documentary to me was Steve Kerr talking about the fight he had, where he basically is like, I had to fire back at him to earn his respect.
Yeah. He's a dog of an athlete. He really was. He didn't give a shit. But yeah, I just thought of that, and I'm like, and not only that, I also went back and I watched, like, there's like little things I was doing during quarantine. I would go and watch like old sports games where the like favorite guy like loses, and how did he deal with adversity or like comeback victory? So I was like going back and watch all these little things. Like I watched when Brady lost those two games to the Giants, and see how he did it. And then like, if you notice, like even in those games, you didn't see his emotions change of him losing. He sat there and tried to figure out a way to win, whether if he win or not, but he was so like mindful and so involved in the process of trying to win the game. Like he didn't give a shit about, like by the time the results came, all right, he lost. He was like, all right, damn. But he didn't feel like, oh, I shoulda, woulda, coulda, because he did everything that he possibly could do in that current time of the game. Like, it is what it is, you know?
You know, with him being here in Tampa, you know, the thing that sticks out to me about him is his interaction with his teammates. Like, to me, I think it's, I mean, obviously MMA is in a way, it's a team sport, but at the end of the day, you're in that cage by yourself. But to me, like the thing I think that separates guys like him from other guys, is you see when he speaks to his teammates, how his teammates look at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure that's something you sit there and, you know, when Joe sits there and has a conversation with him, you're like, this guy's, he knows what he's talking about. Maybe there's times where maybe you don't agree with what he's saying, but you're like, there's a reason Joe's saying this to me.
Yeah, no, every time Joe say he, like, I always take him what he says. And if he's telling me, like, yo, do a fucking cartwheel, and I'm just like, I don't feel that comfortable with it, he would always, like, find another avenue. He'd be, all right, you don't like this, that's fine, you tried it, it's not for you, try this, see how you like this. Like, it's never just one particular way. And he's, and he always say, like, he's like, I don't know everything. Like, you know, there's other people that know more things about, like, go get that information, go get that knowledge. So he's always, like, awesome about that.
Yeah, as I always say, I never want to be the smartest guy in the room and think I know everything. I can always learn. I can always learn something new every day of my life. But Mike, as always, man, I appreciate the time. Of course, let me know anything. Find you on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
Just find me at Mrod MMA on Instagram and on Twitter and on Twitch. I'll be back on Twitch. Yeah, and I just want to give a shout out to all the, my coaches and teammates that helped me through my whole career. Thank you. And shout out to Killcliff, Modest Needs, and Collector's Cup. Those are my three big sponsors.
And there was my conversation with Mike Rodriguez. Always appreciate the time that Mike gives me and a great conversation that I had with him. Hopefully you enjoyed that conversation. And of course, now stepping up on short notice, as right before I started doing this recording, this podcast, saw Mike had put on his personal Facebook Fight Week, and obviously getting back in there in competition. And you know, and this is the one thing about especially US based fighters when there's events in Vegas. There is going to be a lot of short notice opportunities that are coming your way. Are you going to be able to take advantage of those opportunities or not? So, Mike Rodriguez getting back in there, taking on Ed Herman. Of course, you remember the issue Ed had in his last fight when he was supposed to take on Gerald Mearsharp. But, we'll, of course, I'll be previewing that fight card here later on this week, not just on the MMA Report podcast, but also over at Awesomeo with the DFS Strategy Show, which, by the way, will be on Wednesday night. That is the new schedule for the show on Awesomeo with the NFL season kicking off on Thursday. The decision was made to move the show to Wednesday nights. Coming up next, you're going to hear my conversation with Zach Cummins. Of course, Zach coming off that decision win at UFC Vegas, was at number 8, as nearly got a stoppage victory at the end of that fight against Alessio DiCherico. Had a chance to talk to Zach about that matchup. And one of the more interesting things about this conversation is Zach kind of talking about he knows, he's getting his, he understands his age and understanding that the end is approaching faster than we may realize. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who's coming off a victory this past weekend at UFC Vegas, Zach Cummins. Zach, appreciate the time. Obviously, the end of the fight, you land the shot that I guess 3 more seconds left in the fight, and probably it's a TKO / knockout victory as opposed to a decision victory, man. Like, have you thought about that? How much have you thought about that sequence of, like, is there part of you goes, damn it, I should have done that kick 5 seconds earlier?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where I kind of just had to read it in the moment, you know, like it took a little bit for him to actually come after me. You know, those little final exchanges to where that's kind of like where he opened up to land something big like that. He was a little more defensively sound, like just kind of waiting on me. So I'm really good at finding clean shots and weird angles, like when we kind of get in that little brawling gun, you know, little firefight and stuff. So, it kind of took him to actually like come after me and stuff for me to find that opening. And we found it. We found it just a little bit too late. So, with him, like I still think they possibly could have called the fight. You know, he had no clue where he was. He could barely stand up. But I understand that they didn't. It's a very kind of an odd thing. It's something they don't see very often. You know, I think it's a cool learning tool that I think a lot of those refs could probably like get together and look at it over and over and kind of like, hey, like, how would you read this? What would you do? And something they could talk about, maybe kind of get on the same page. But it doesn't bother me they didn't stop it. I think they could have, but I also completely understand that they didn't.
Was there anything about how Alessio fought against you that surprised you?
Yeah, a little bit. So he, I cornered him when he fought Julian Marquez, and he kind of was ducking his head down and just coming forward, throwing really hard bombs. Kind of what he did there at the very end. That's what I was expecting almost the whole fight, and he just didn't do that. He was really doing a good job of trying to fight the outside foot, the lead foot to the outside. He was hiding his right hand pretty well. I saw the jab all day. I checked every kick. He did a good job of hiding the right hand and cutting some good angles and just kind of keeping his distance and not coming forward trying to just brawl. I feel like every time he did that, I caught him clean. It kind of like made him step back and and kind of like respect the power again. So it was different. Like I was really surprised he like grabbed my leg like he was gonna take me down. But yeah, I mean, I thought he would come after me a little bit more, which is I guess maybe why I was waiting a little bit. And it's kind of, you know, a little bit less volume, which is not what I trained for at all. I actually had all intentions on like throwing a lot of volume, like setting up the takedowns and everything, and I just didn't. I don't have an answer why. I just didn't do it.
You know, that was the one thing during the fight that the broadcasters were kind of noting with you of like, hey, is he going to follow up with more than one punch?
Yeah. I mean, that was the game plan. Like, I literally trained all camp of like, okay, he throws the kick. Cool. We blocked the head kick. We throw, you know, our combination. I blocked every head kick. I never threw after, you know, his right hand. I had like certain stuff I was going to do for it. Never really did it. The whole time I threw my left hand, like all camp we worked on, you know, bringing that lead hook or like resetting with a jab or something to get myself back in good position and just maybe add some more. And that way I could like start firing more combinations. And I finally kind of started resetting my jab out, you know, towards the end of the second, third round, which I was kind of stopping him coming forward whenever he was trying to crash and counter. And I wish I would have done that more. And then that way I could like start adding more combinations on top of that. It just took me a while to get going. I don't know. Like, I mean, we definitely trained all that stuff. Just for whatever, just did not implement the game plan or what I trained the whole camp on. So definitely need to fix that. Normally I'm like a video game. You normally coach says it, and I immediately react. And for some reason this fight, I was just having my own little fun, smiling, having fun time, and just not doing what I was told to do, I guess.
Is that like, you know, they talk about things you love and hate in terms of your performance, in terms of the hate aspect of your performance? Is that like, is that what eats at you? You still, even a couple of days after the fact?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, like, absolutely.
Why couldn't I, you know, like, you know, some fighters talk about, say, you know what, for some reason, just in the back, it wasn't clicking. Like, yeah. But is that something that you would say is eating at you in a way?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I hate going to judges anyways. Like, I'm a finisher. That's what I try to do. I know I had all the ability to finish him, man. Like, if I could have done that sooner, I could have. I should have, you know, maybe let's test the ground out. I think I'm head and shoulders better than him on the ground and could have submitted him. And I just didn't even try. And, like, stuff like that eats at me. Like, the lack of effort of some of the stuff I just didn't do. It's been eating at me, you know. I mean, I'm happy I won. I'm really happy. I'm happy I got to just fight, man. Like, with all the craziness that's been going on, like, at this point, I was like, I'm not even gonna, like, we're not good until they lock that door and there's an opponent with me. I'm like, oh, cool, okay, we can do this now. Like, I think that's why I was having so much fun. Like, oh my, yeah, all right, let's go. And but yeah, I mean, after the fact, you know, it's like, okay, well, yeah, I did get to fight, I did get to do that, but I was just a little upset that, you know, I didn't do everything I wanted. I didn't do what I planned and trained to do. But we got the win, and it's a lot easier to try to go back to the drawing board and improve after a win. So I am happy about that.
Nearly 1 year since your last fight. Like, as you think about the last 11-ish months, like, how would you describe it?
Man, it was a lot of ups and downs, you know. So I hate losing. I fell short on a close fight that against someone that I know I can win. Like, I know I can win that fight. I should have finished it in the first round. I should have followed up, and I didn't do it. So that was eating at me, you know, that I was coming off of a loss. I wanted to get right back in. I thought we can make it work in January, and just the opponent they want me to fight, just whatever reason, just didn't want that date, or didn't want the fight, or I don't know, but it got delayed. I had a fight set for April, and you know, so I mean, I thought it was gonna be in January, so I went out to Denver, kind of left my family, trained some, came back home. The fight was set for April, so you know, again, I'm like, I'm leaving my family, I'm going out training. Like, I was out in Denver when all the COVID stuff happened. And like, all the shutdowns started happening. I'm like, dude, like, you know, am I gonna be able to get home? Like, you know, I didn't know if I was gonna be able to fly home or whatever. It was just kind of crazy times. And then I came home, and just it's a lot of stuff to deal with and everything. You know, I had to shut my gym down and everything, you know, that I own here in Kansas City, and some deals. So it was, it was hard on the athlete side of me. Now, personally, you know, we shut everything down. I just got to, like, sit at home and spend time with my family. And it was, like, I was training hard for the Omari fight. And then, like, I thought I'd be fighting this whole time after that. So, like, I just kind of, like, was in training mode. So, just to, like, for those couple weeks of just sitting back and enjoying the family, being outside, just being a dad, being a family person, not really worry about all the other outside stuff, man, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, I know it was a hard time for a lot of people. And I get that. For me, it was, I mean, obviously, like, you know, I'd still, like, lost my, I wasn't able to work and get paid and stuff. But so it's not like it was easy, but just the time was really, really a big positive thing for me to have. And it kind of was a good setback and reassess things and stuff. And then, you know, I just turned 36. Like, I don't know how much longer I'm going to do this, but that kind of gave me a look into retirement, and it's not that bad. You know, it's pretty good just to be able to hang out and spend time with family and everything and not have to be on the go all the time. So it was nice, which I think made me enjoy the time in the fight that much more. Just like, but hey, man, like, I don't know how many more of these we have, but let's really enjoy the moment in there. Like, let's just take it in and have fun. I still need to perform better, but I really, really just enjoyed the moment.
Fighters don't like to say that R word. You know, they feel like it's a little bit of a jinx, but for tough. for you, like, you know, I've talked to athletes in other sports and you know, when they talk about it, ultimately your body is going to tell you when it's over. Like, so for you, at where you're at a point, it's like, you know what, I just got to try to take advantage of every opportunity because, you know, you understand, like, look, it's I am the age I am.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess, like, and for this time, like, there's so many opportunities for fighters to get opportunities. So,
sure.
I mean, is the mindset kind of like, you know what, I just got to be ready to go at any point because, you know, my manager could call me tomorrow and there's an opening 2 weeks from now, and I want to make sure I'm ready to take it.
Yeah, like I said, I understand. I'm towards the end. I'm towards the end of the road. I don't know what that, like, when that is. I feel like for the longest time, like, 35 was just in my mind, like, you know, I don't, you know, I'll be done then, whatever. And then I started, you know, I was 35. I was like, I'm still, like, I'm right there with the top 15 guys. Like, do we just quit now? Or do we, like, put, you know, we keep pushing a little bit more and see what we can do with this, you know? So, and my body feels pretty good and everything. So, you know, some days are harder than others, but I feel like I've kind of got that, found that passion again for training, just staying consistent in the gym and stuff and everything. And, you know, I mean, my family's super supportive, and they're just right there with me and stuff. So, I know I have more, especially like you were saying, how crazy these times are. You can just, like, keep turning out fighting and fighting and fighting. So it's like, you know, I'm not done yet, but, so I'm just trying to stay ready to go and when I can, but, you know, I'm just kind of enjoying it and see how things go. But, I know I'm not like, oh, I got like another 5 years left. So I know that, but, you know, I don't have exactly a time yet when I'm done, but, I know I'm towards the end, but I'm still enjoying every moment I can get in there for sure.
And we look forward to seeing when that next moment will be for you inside the Octagon. Zach, as always, appreciate the time. Of course,
awesome,
let me know anything you follow you out on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
Yeah. So just, at Zach Cummings, follow me, shoot me a message. I'd really try my best to answer everybody back. Just want to thank my two gyms, you know, so my home gym, Glory MMA and Fitness, you know, we have an amazing crew here with a lot of good up and comers that you're going to hear more from. And then, you know, my general, Mark Matoy and Factory X out in Denver, man, all my teammates out there. It's such a good mixture between coaching and styles and teammates at both locations that it just makes me, really the best that I could be. So I love it. And then, you know, I really want to thank my management company with Iridium Sports Management. They're the best that do it. And I really, really thankful for having those guys running my career.
And there was my conversation with Zach Cummings. Real appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me. And very fascinating to kind of hear him talk about being 36 years old, understanding that, you know, look, it's the time is running out for him in his mixed martial arts journey. And also kind of interesting just kind of hear him talk about how COVID has affected him with the gym business. And that is a very familiar story that we hear out of a lot of MMA fighters who, you know, have an ownership in a gym, whether it's, you know, whether it's their own, whether it's a sole proprietorship or maybe they're, it's a partnership or whatnot. But, you know, really it is part of the story is obviously the gym business has really, you know, is hurting right now. No question about it. I mean, I will tell you this. I have not gone back to my gym, you know, since they shut down. They've been back open, I would say, I don't know, 2 months or so. But I've just made the personal decision that I'm not going to put myself in that environment, quite frankly, because I remember how people didn't necessarily clean up after themselves pre-COVID. So, you know, for me, I just kind of made that decision. I'm still paying my gym dues, but yeah, just for me, I just, you know, it's like I want to get back into the gym, but man, I'm a little nervous. So I kind of have stayed away from that. Coming up next, you're going to hear a conversation I had with Jeff Molina, training out of there of Glory in Kansas City alongside Zach Cummings. He got a win on the Contender Series, now in the UFC. So you're going to hear my conversation as he talks about how this was the most stressful fight week in his life, as he's going to explain why that is. Also, he talks about how he's targeting to potentially make his UFC debut in October or November. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man we saw walk away with a UFC contract on Dana White's Contender Series. Jeff, congratulations on the win. You know, I was watching another interview you did, and one of the things that really stuck out to me was you mentioned about, you say, you know what, I'm not happy with my performance. I'm sure you've probably watched this fight now, you know, countless times. Obviously, you're happy with getting the win and, you know, and everything that kind of came along with it. But in terms of, is there something about the fight that just still eats at you?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot, man. You always try to, I'm the world's biggest critic when it comes to my fighting, man. I feel like that performance could have been a cleaner performance. It could have been a shutout, a more dominating fashion. He arguably won a round in there. And I think there was a lot I could have done, man. Like, certain times when I had him hurt in the clinch, I started kneeing him. I could have switched to elbows to get the hands back up and then go back down to knees, just little things like that I could have changed. And, you know, the circumstances going into the fight, of course I'm happy going, getting the win, but, the performance itself was not my cleanest performance. And, you know, there's a lot to learn from it. I felt like I leveled up. It was good to get that fight experience. So there's pros and cons to how the fight turned out. I like that I went 15 minutes and got to get a little more cage time. A lot of my fights kind of finish a little faster. So just, I'm going to learn a lot from that and get better. And I'd rather get the performance of the night than the fight of the night. Dana told me afterwards that was fight of the night. And I kind of joked with him and I was like, cool, man, 50 G's, right? And he's like, soon, kid, soon. So, yeah, I'd rather get performance of the night than fight of the night. But hey, man, I'll take it. A win's a win. And, considering the circumstances going into that fight, I'll take the win, man. Like, winners win. That's something we talk about. Something my coach talks about, James Krause, just that winners win. Like, there's no asterisk when, that comes with a loss, right? There's not, like, on Tapology.com, there's not an asterisk that says, hurt rib or tough weight cut or, you know, whatever, you know, yeah, fill in the blank. So I'll take the win and I'll learn from it.
Something you mentioned there is something that James said to me right at the start of this whole pandemic. He said, this is an opportunity to level up. As you think about where you have grown over this last, I guess we're about 6 months into this pandemic, as you look as you look at yourself, is there something that sticks out to you more than anything else of how you've leveled up as a martial artist?
Yeah, I think, especially in the last 6 months, man, it's finally piecing everything together, right? I think at the highest level, like you look at the Henry Cejudos, the John Jones, they're good at adjusting and adapting to circumstances, whether it's in the fight or outside the fight. And I think I did a very good job the last 6 months of doing that. Not just as a fighter, like blending everything together, being an all-around mixed martial artist. Like, I felt like in fights in the past, I've showed one discipline. I've yet to piece it all together, and I feel like it finally clicked.
back in my fight in February. Leading up to that fight, I felt like everything clicked. I've always prided myself in being good everywhere. I just yet to blend it all. And I feel like at the highest level, you have to be able to blend it, right? Shoot for a takedown to come up striking and vice versa. Strike to shoot to a takedown and just be a mixed martial artist. So I feel like the last 6 months, I've really pieced it all together. And then this last month, man, getting ready for this fight, I feel like I leveled up mentally, like a ton. Not that I was ever mentally weak, just like overcoming adversity and just dealing with the circumstances that you have to deal with. And always kind of just something I kept telling myself this past 2 weeks is just like focus on what you can control. And that's what I said to myself every single day. The week of the fight was just like focus on what you control. And that's what I did. And again, winners win and we got her done.
Focus on what you control. That is a mentality I deal with every day. You know, we all like, you know, we all want a million people to listen or watch whatever we're putting out there. And I just say, you know what? All I can control is the content. That's all I can control. And, you know, that's what I kind of concern myself with. But, you know, obviously it was a unique situation that you were in during fight week. How would you describe what fight week was like for this fight as opposed to your fight back in February?
Completely different, man. 100% different. This fight week was so stressful. Not going to lie. It was probably the most stressful thing I've ever been through. Just waking up every day, not knowing if the fight was still on, doing that while you're cutting weight, not having corners, not having coaches there, cutting weight, just you and your teammate. Mike Breeden, who also fought, he was the fight right before mine. We didn't know if we were going to have coaches. The commission didn't know if they were going to allow us to fight. They were like doing like a little investigation concerning like if we were in contact with our corners, like how close we were, like things like that. So me and Mikey were planning on cornering each other. We're like, man, if we can convince the UFC to switch the bout lineup up, maybe go like one of us fights first and then one of us fights last, we'll corner each other, you know, like who better to know our system than each other. So yeah, just the whole week was pretty stressful, man. Like I said this in the post-fight presser, but legit, I would go to sleep and I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd have a dream that the fight got pulled. And I'd wake up and be like, okay, it was just a dream. And I'd go back to sleep and continue the same dream, man. It was so shitty. Like, that's never happened. Yeah, it was just stressful, man. But the whole week I was just telling myself, focus on what you control. And what I could control was cutting weight, helping my teammate out, and fighting, you know, and performing. So those are the three things I could control. And I feel like I did a really good job of keeping that mentality.
I mean, that has to be the most mentally draining of your career. Like, is there anything that would come close to this?
Man, honestly, it made the fight so easy. Like, even though people were like, dude, that was a barn burner, that was a scrap, that was the fun part. That was the easy part. Like, just being able to compete and kind of show some of my skills. But everything beforehand was the shitty part. That was the most stressful thing. I can't reiterate like how stressful that whole situation was, but I feel like I leveled up a ton mentally just overcoming that the way I did. Not to kiss my own ass or anything, but like after the fight I looked back and I was like, that was hard, like not the fight itself but everything leading up to it, and I felt like I did a good job dealing with it.
And of course, you're now waiting to see when your next fight's going to take place. And we've seen Contender Series fighters, it's quick turnarounds. You know, a lot of guys, you know, I know I've seen, you know, guys get booked in September, October, November. Is there a timetable for you, or is it the typical fighter mentality of like, man, they call me, they ask me to fight this weekend, I'm there?
A little bit of both, man. I got an X-ray on my foot yesterday. So if that clears out, there's already a date being talked about and an opponent being talked about. So the month is November that they're looking at, and I'm all about it, man. So as long as the foot clears out, I'll get the results later today. I'm 100% game.
I mean, I'm not gonna try to get who the opponent is, but just because I know you don't want to put that out there. So I understand how this game works, but once your manager gave you that name and said, hey, this potential opponent, was it immediately, let me go watch as much footage as I can of this dude and start picking him apart?
Yeah, no, I actually haven't watched any footage yet. I know who he is. I was actually supposed to step in to fight the guy he fought in his debut on short notice, but I told my coach, hey, if you like it, I like it. Like, it doesn't really matter to me. But once my coach kind of told me his style, I was all about it. I was like, dude, I love this matchup even more. I've yet to watch tape on him, but I'm sure I will here pretty soon. Just hoping his foot clears out, fingers crossed. And it's going to be a fun fight. I've never been in a boring fight, and this one will definitely not be boring.
Got to ask about the origin of the nickname El Jefe. When did you get it, and who gave it to you?
Man, I was a kid when I got that nickname. So my childhood, like, best friend, his dad was Mexican, mm-hmm. Born in Mexico. And in Spanish, you pronounce the J's as H's. So he'd always joke around and call me Heifrey. He's like, your name in Spanish is Heifrey, right? My name's Jeffrey. Yeah. And that kind of stuck. And Heifrey somehow turned into Jefe, like, around middle school. And people would just call me Jefe. So it's more of like a play on word than the actual translation of boss. But I liked it, man. I was like, cool, Jefe. And people in high school would call me Jefe. People on the wrestling team would call me Jefe. And my coach, Jason Hyatt, would joke around when I was in the gym. He would be like, I'm not calling you Jefe until you're over the age of 18. Until then, you're Jefecito. So that's what he called me. He called me El Jefecito. And then when I turned 18, I kind of got promoted to El Jefe. So it kind of means both, right? Like, boss, like, kind of owning things while you're in there. And then also just the play on word of my name, Jeff Jefe.
You have history with someone who's fighting. So as we do this interview, it's September the 1st, the next episode of Contender Series tonight. You've got a little history with one of the fighters on tonight's card, Nate Smith. Are you rooting for Nate to win? And is that a fight that you're targeting?
Sure. Yeah. I'm kind of indifferent if he wins or not. I'd love to fight him again. I don't dislike anybody inside MMA, the sport, besides him. I'm not a big fan of him, just the way he carries himself. I think I respect him as a fighter and as a martial artist, but as a person, I think he's a piece of shit. I've fought him twice, once as an amateur, guillotined him, and I fought him again as a pro. I lost a split decision to him in his hometown that I thought I won. He got the win that night. Props to him, but I just don't like him as a person, man. After my second pro fight, as I'm walking out of the cage, you know, I'm on cloud nine. I'm coming off my first loss ever. I'm walking out of the cage, just won my fight. Super excited, you know, kind of emotional. Still have my gloves on. I'm walking back to the locker room with my coaches. We're talking. And someone starts, like, saying some super disrespectful stuff as I'm walking back from the stands. And I hear it, and I'm like, oh, he can't be talking to me. And then he says my name. So I turn around, I look over my shoulder, and there the kid is, Nate Smith, talking smack, talking shit. And I still have my gloves on, adrenaline still going. I turn around, and I tried to get close to him. My coach is kind of holding me back while my other coach is kind of going to go approach him. And then security comes and pulls him out of the building, kicks him out. And that's how our fight got set up. Not to make excuses, I fought 3 times in 4 months. My third fight being that Nate Smith fight, my body was beat the fuck up. The performance I put on that night was probably my worst performance to date. And that's a fight I really want back. Again, I respect the kid as a fighter, as a person. I just don't like him. Like, for you to talk, even if I hated someone, man, I would not try to fight them as they're walking out of a fight. You know, let them enjoy that moment. Let them take that in. And then if you want to talk smack, go ahead and talk smack online or in person, just not right after a fight. You know, that just really rubbed me the wrong way, but he got what he wanted, right? He got the other fight set up a month and a half later and we fought. So if he does get a UFC contract tonight, let's set it up for, I already got a fight planned for November, hopefully. So let's set it up for next year. I love it. Hopefully the UFC markets it as a trilogy fight against two people that don't like each other.
Final thing, and, you know, after that fight against Nate, you fell in 1-2. Since then, you haven't lost. Was there something that changed after that fight that as you now look back on that and you say that was kind of, I mean, you hate to say you have a defining moment 3 fights into your career, but was there a defining moment that you know, kind of, you know, maybe it put things perspective, or was it just like, look, I was growing as a fighter and things just started naturally coming together?
Yeah, Jason, I think it was a mix of a lot of things. Again, having three pro fights in 4 months was taxing on my body. I think I was in training camp for 10 months straight at that point. I was just kind of mentally drained. And then also I made the full-time move to Glory. I was kind of spending time in between gyms. And then I made the full-time move to Glory around, I think it was right after that Nate Smith fight. I made the full-time move, and that's been game-changing. I can't talk about how good of a coach Jan Krause is enough. He's a wizard, man, and he's really helped me out. He's the reason I'm here where I am today in the UFC. And I can't thank the man enough. His ability to break down technique and teach it to any type of fighter is second to none.
And, of course, look forward to seeing when the official UFC debut does take place. Jeff, really appreciate the time, man. Have a good rest of your day. But, of course, let everyone know they can find you on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, on Instagram, it's jmolina_125. Same thing on Twitter. On Facebook, I believe it's JSMOLINA_125. And I just want to thank my teammates at Glory MMA, my coaches at Glory MMA, James Krause, Jason High, Grant Dawson, Austin Ford. Sponsors, my barber, Clint the Barber here in Olathe, Kansas. He's been with me since the amateur days, like since my very first amateur MMA fight. And then my tattoo artist, Kiko, he's out in Vegas. He actually just hooked me up with a pretty sick piece. Go check him out if you want some clean ink work. And thank you, man. Thank you for having me again.
Great conversation there with Jeff Molina. Appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me. One of the things he had said to me, it's you know, I always find this weird when you hear fighters say, yeah, man, I've been watching your interviews for years. It's always kind of a weird when you hear a fighter say that, but Jeff did say that to me, and I appreciate him giving some time out to talk to me about his win on the Contender Series, also talking about why it was the most stressful fight week for him. And then, of course, you know, we'll see when that official UFC debut does take place, because you can definitely see that these guys who are winning contracts on the Contender Series, they're getting quick turnarounds. And one of those guys getting a quick turnaround is the guy you're going to hear from next, and that's William Knight. He's going to fight at UFC 253. You know, we learned that during the broadcast on Saturday. Had a fabulous conversation with William towards the end of last week, as we talked about his win on the Contender Series. Also, two other key discussions in this conversation was, A, people, you know, because it got brought up in a press conference of, should he try to make 185? He explains why he can't make 185. And also, he talked about how this victory getting into the UFC is going to be a life-changing opportunity for so many people in his life. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who's now in the UFC following his victory this week on Dana White's Contender Series. It is William Knight. William, man, congrats on the victory. You know, one of the things that you had said in the post-fight press conference that stuck out to me, you talked about this being a life-changing moment. You said there's going to be a lot of people's lives around you that are going to change. What did you mean by that?
So people know me like, my family, we're not, my immediate family anyways, we're not in the best of positions. So this was actually a breakthrough for me, because literally training people and living check to check is not a lifestyle I want to live. So during COVID, everything got shut down and my financial situation got dried up real fast. So that's what I meant.
I just knowing a lot of guys up there in the Northeast, you know, obviously there's not regional shows going on up there, and obviously the gym business, you know, how it's had its effect. So, like, how would you describe what 2020 has been like for you, to just, you know, just someone's listening to this conversation? Like, how would you describe of how your life has been altered just because of the restrictions?
So, I mean, 2020 for me has been... it's been crazy. It's like, boom, January, I'm fighting Rocky Edwards on CES. Then I'm offered a title fight for CES, I believe, in April or May. They had a Hartford show happening, and then I'm getting ready for that. Then COVID comes, shuts everything down. Then I find out about my Contender Series fight for July 15th that COVID also messed up and it got pushed to September 1st. So I just thought a lot of things were going to fall apart for me. And then September 1st happened. I started seeing the shows on TV, seeing Dana White still doing shows, doing the test. They went above and beyond to assure everybody to still have some type of employment, and hope came back. So between that and then, I was felt hopeless. Like, I felt like everything was about to fall off. Like, I just started training people one-on-one and it started picking up. I started doing group sessions, everything else, and then the world got shut down. Like, it was crazy. But September 1st, yep, on Tuesday, everything changed at that moment after I got my hand raised. So now I'm feeling good and I'm just waiting on that phone call.
You know, of course, the fight gets off to not the start that you wanted to, but the sequence where you're he's on top of you and you're holding his hands, basically kind of stall him out, and Herb was at various times, you know, telling Cody, you got to work. Was that just you trying to, let me just try to stall this action out to get the fight back to the feet? Was that kind of the mindset?
No, I didn't want to stall it out because I knew Dana was watching. Like, my idea was to pull him down and then wait for him to adjust to explode out. And when he adjusted, instead, he took my back to try to choke me out. So it was like his punches, he was raining down punches, don't get me wrong, which you see, I wasn't, like, people will say, oh, he was hurt, but I wasn't hurt. I got up. It's like, I can't explain it, but in most of my fights, I need to wake me up. Like, it's like a turbo shot. Like, you know, you get those caffeine shots from Dunkin' Donuts or whatever people talk about. That's what it is. Like, when pain's inflicted on me, it spikes my adrenaline. Then I know it's go time. I hate that it has to be like that. But in most of my fights, people land some nice shots, man. And I'm used to it. I'm used to that kind of pain. Like, people don't know, like, I fight because I've already been fighting my whole life. Before I was in my grandmother's custody, I was fighting. Like, people don't understand, like, I'm fighting a bigger fight than the sport, brother. So to get to where I am today, like, everything else is a walk in the park to me.
I don't know if you saw or heard this or not, because when I was watching Dana's press conference, someone had said, he goes, hey, do you think William can make 185? I'm like, man, why are we trying to get this guy to lose 20 pounds? Like, when you hear people say, hey, you should fight 185, like, what goes through your mind when you hear that?
I laugh at them because they don't realize I used to be a 297-pound man. Like, you're telling me to fight 185. What are you going to do? Melt muscle off of me? You're going to melt my figure, my body, my structure? If you see my brother and my dad and things like that, cousins and all that, you see my structure is not made for 185. I'm not made for 185. Maybe my brother, but I'm not built for 185. The lowest I've gotten since the fight world started in 4 years was 198 pounds, and I looked like I was going to die. Mm-hmm. That's the lowest I've ever gotten, and that was by accident because I was trying to make 205 for a fight in New York. So I went and overcut because I was 206 and I wanted to be championship weight. Went in the sauna a little longer than I was supposed to. When I got to the venue, even the 3-hour drive, and I was spitting, I don't know why I was spitting, I was just making sure, I was 198 pounds. I looked dead and unhealthy. Don't get me wrong, I still had energy, everything else, but that I was 198. Like, no, stop telling me I'm a 185er. Like, my structure is not made for 185. What's the difference between 185 and 205? The weight. I'm still going to be fighting tall dudes with reach that are going to be taller than me regardless. Like, no one said DC should be fighting 185 and we're the same height, regardless of his credentials. Like, fighters are fighters. David took down Goliath with ease. So stop speaking on height. Height has nothing to do with the caliber of skill for a fighter. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If I can't get around your reach, I'm going to fight you on the inside. If that's not enough, I'm going to take you down. If you take me down, I'm going to fight up. Like, I'm a fighter. Fighters fight regardless of anything. Back in the day, UFC 1, was there any weight classes? Was there any? Did it matter?
No, it did not.
It didn't. There were dudes 135 fighting guys 300 pounds. The Goliath killer, that guy. You got to think about it. He was knocking out super heavyweights, and he was a smaller guy. Like, oh, I should be fighting 185. To whose knowledge? Who are you to tell me I should be fighting at 185 when I'm comfortable at 205? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
No, I'm with you. When I heard it, I was like, man, why did and because the only thing I could think of is because of your height of why someone would say that. And I'm just like, man, no, he's a 205er. But obviously someone's been, the story of you, part of it is your weight loss journey. And I was just kind of thinking as a lot of people who are at home and, maybe they don't want to go to the gym or for whatever reason, what would your advice be to them about kind of going on? We were in a similar situation that you were in at one time before you started this weight loss journey. What would your advice to them be about how to, change your weight and get the weight down?
Man, if you value your life, and you feel like you're around for others, you will make change. You will 100% make change. I value people around me and I value my life. I had to make change. 297 pounds and walking and getting scars on my legs from walking and not being able to do things, like all that stuff, it plays a role on you. No matter how much the world says to embrace your size, embrace how you are, embrace how God made you. Yes, you can embrace all that, how God made you. But you have the right to alter, to bring longevity and life to your life. Like, why would you sit there and just be 200, 300, 400 pounds because I should accept you as such? Yes, I accept you as a human, but I value you also. So let's do something about this so you can live longer, so I can value you longer. I want to be able to see you progress in whatever you want to do. I want to see you live longer, not sit here unhealthy and at risk.
In terms of when you'll make your UFC debut, have yourself, the team, Tyson, have y'all kind of mapped out a plan, or is the mindset of like, you know what, man, there an opportunity could come in next week or two, and you know what, as long as I'm ready to go, I'm going to take advantage of that?
I'm ready. I already told them, yo, let's get something going. I'm ready. My fight was in and out, UFC debut. I'm ready. I know there's a few cards going on. I'm ready. I don't care if it's in a couple of weeks, if it's in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, November, October. I'm ready. I just want to, while I'm training and on this grind and I'm in this mindset, I'm ready. That's all I'm going to just keep saying. Like, that's what my manager's for. He knows if he calls me, I'm not going to deny it.
And we look forward to seeing when that UFC debut is going to take place, William. I appreciate the time. Of course, let everyone know they can find you on social media. And of course, anything else you want to mention, man?
You can find me on Instagram under SSJ Nightmare. You can also find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, Nightmare 205. You can find me on Twitter. I mean, SSJ Nightmare, my Snapchat. If you ever want to see me act goofy or do some crazy ass athletic stuff in the gym, I'd be doing some crazy stuff, bro. Like backflip burpees into deadlifts. Yeah, I'd be doing some crazy stuff. So, yeah, man, I'm just living a life like anyone else. If you guys want to search me out, that's how you can find me.
And there was my conversation with William Knight. I appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about his win on the Contender Series and, talking about how this was a life-changing moment for him and the people around him. And as I mentioned, now, after that interview was done, it was, he was booked for his official UFC debut. So look forward to seeing how William Knight can fare in the UFC light heavyweight division. As you heard him say, he's not going down to middleweight. I think that, and he brings up a lot of great points. I think that sometimes as reporters, we look at height and we're like, oh, you should be at this weight. But William Knight making it very clear, light heavyweight is where he is going to be. Now, our final conversation you're going to hear on this edition of the MMA Report Podcast, interview edition, will be with Sherrod Blackledge. He is going to fight on tomorrow's episode, Tuesday's episode, of Dana White's Contender Series. He's a lightweight that trains out of Syndicate MMA there in Las Vegas. Had a chance to talk to him about his fight against Cameron Church, and also how he talked about this is a familiar environment for him because he was in the corner of Jordan Leavitt earlier this season. Joining me now here on the MMA Report, a man that's going to be part of Dana White's Contender Series next week as he takes on Cameron Church. It is Sherrod Blackledge. Sherrod, I know we've had a chance to talk in the past, so I appreciate you taking some time out here as, of course, you're getting ready for this fight coming up here next week, man. So you're 1 week out from this fight, man. So what's kind of what's the mindset right now?
Man, my mindset is to secure this contract. Have fun, enjoy the journey like I've been doing so far. Just, man, that's a big part of it. It's just making sure that I enjoy it and to have stuff to look back on and just reminisce, you know?
Can it all be tough to enjoy the process when you're in that battle, you're grind day in, day out? Can there be days where sometimes maybe you just don't enjoy that process?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? Those are the days too that you can look back on and be like, man, you remember when I was like crying and whining about that day? Man, thank God I kept to it, right? You know? Like those are the days that I look back on also, the days that I wanted to quit, the days that I was like, man, maybe this just isn't what I really want to do. But I appreciate those days because those are the days that it's like the saying, you fall down seven times, but you get up eight. Like those are one of the days that you fall down, but you get back up and you know that you can do it and you keep to it, you know?
You know, I know one of your teammates there, Jordan Leavitt, of course, won his way into the UFC, the Contender Series. And I know, when I've talked to him, he's talked about the relationship that both of you had. Is there something Jordan has said to you leading up to this fight that has really stuck with you about what you're going to walk into a week from now?
I was honored to be able to be in his corner for his fight, actually. So I got a little dry run of everything that I'm going to be walking into, everything that I'm going to be experiencing and everything. So, I kind of prepared myself for it. And he'll be in my corner also. Like, yeah, Jordan's easily one of my favorite people at the gym, and he'll forever be a very good friend of mine. But yeah, man, we keep each other motivated. We keep each other's mental state strong and aware. So he's a good dude right there. I love that dude.
You know, one of the things I've talked to Jordan a couple of times, but one of my last conversations I had with him that I learned about him that he likes to run barefoot outside. Are you in that club of running barefoot outside?
No, but I know that he does that. He is a madman. He really is. I'm off like every now and then after training, we'll go run and stuff. Like after sparring, we'll go out and just sprint a few blocks and then come back and just chill and relax. But no, I am not into the barefoot running. I'm used to Vegas, but I'm not that used to Vegas.
Like that when he told me that, I was just like, how the hell do you run barefoot in Vegas? Like, I live here in Florida. It's hot as can be. I could not imagine in the middle of the day going outside and trying to run barefoot here in Florida.
Yeah, it is 100% true. He does it. He does it. I've seen him do it. I don't know how he does it. Maybe it's like, man, the ground's so hot, I have to keep moving. I have to move fast. I don't know. I don't know how he does it. But I know there was a time where he was running like almost 10 miles a day or so. Like, dude was running a whole lot.
That's absolutely
crazy.
You mentioned about how you were in his corner. He'll be in your corner for this one. And you mentioned about, hey, you got a run through of what to expect. Is there something that really sticks with you about, okay, this is what my life's going to be like for those 3 or 4 days, of whether it's, you know, the kind of the COVID quarantine aspect that you have to go through or something along those lines? Is there something major that you really took in from that experience of how, you know, because of having that experience, it's going to help you out, maybe give you a little advantage over your opponent, just maybe in terms of the mental side of things heading into this one?
You know what, man? I can't really say, because I didn't find anything wrong with it. Like, mm-hmm. The main thing about having people in your corner that you're going to have is that you feel comfortable and they put you in a safety mindset, you know? And that's kind of what we did really well when I was out and we were cornering Jordan. We just sat in the rooms. We just sat in the hotel and just had fun. We had fun. We just laughed, joked around, watched a bunch of movies, and just enjoyed each other's time. So, like, it wasn't anything too serious. It blew by so quick. The first day when I was there I had to be there by myself, I was like, oh, this sucks. Darn it. But then as soon as we all got in there, we were all just chilling and just enjoying each other's time. It was awesome. We were just in there laughing and chilling. And they're like, oh, it's time to go to Apex Center. Like, oh yeah, come on, let's go do this. And then it was just fun. Like, we enjoyed every bit of it.
As you think about this journey that you have been on, in your wildest, you know, as you thought about kind of your path to get to this point, back when you made your pro debut in late 2018, is this a timetable that you expected to be on, or is it like, you know what, you know, things have kind of happened a little faster than even I anticipated?
No, this is actually, I was saying, like my girlfriend said to me, she's like, wow, you said that this was going to happen. You said that you were going to get into the contenders early September, or make a UFC debut late November. And I've just been saying this because I don't know, I believe in manifesting, and I put it out into the universe and I made it come true. So this is what I wanted. This is exactly what I wanted.
In terms of your opponent Cameron here, what's your overall take of him as a fighter, and what do you look at and say he does this really well?
He throws with a lot of power. I mean, he's just a heavy puncher. I can't really say that he's fought anybody like me, for sure. Most of the guys they fight are really small, which is kind of weird, because he fights at 55. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, he throws heavy, like, that's it. I mean, he got the puncher's chance of beating me, so.
What do you
believe? Really too worried about it.
What do you believe your key to victory is?
Patient. Being patient. Yep.
Has that ever been an issue for you?
No, I'm actually a very patient fighter. I don't see no reason to jump the gun on things. I have no problem with sitting back, letting it go a little deep into the first round and finding my finish there.
You know, sometimes fighters will talk about that. Sometimes maybe patience can be a little tough to kind of acquire that trait, because, you know, it's this go, go, go mentality. And even in this contender series world, where obviously you're trying to impress Dana and Sean and Mick, and to make your claim of, hey, you need to sign me based on my performance here. Do you kind of feel like with your patience that it ultimately becomes a huge benefactor, because you maybe believe that your opponent is going to try to rush things, and that's where you can really take advantage of his abilities?
Absolutely. I feel like he is absolutely going to try to rush things. And yeah, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to find my shot and I'm going to put him away. For sure.
For the fans that maybe this is going to be their first time to see you compete, what would you want those fans to know that are going to watch you next Tuesday night on ESPN+?
I'd say, man, just follow me. have faith, have patience as I do. I promise you I will not disappoint, and I'll go out there and I'll fight my heart out for sure.
You mentioned about you've been in the scene with Jordan, fighting in the empty arena environment. Does it change anything for you as the guy in the octagon?
Yeah, it allows you to hear your coach better, and I already listen to my coach very well. So this is more of a benefactor. Like, really, man, I the fans being there, I'd rather there be no fans there and everybody just watching at home. I'd rather that 100%. Like, because now you get to hear everything. Mm-hmm. You get to hear everything. You get to hear the bones clashing. You get to hear a big hit. You get to hear what coaches are saying. You get to hear all of that. And that is awesome. Like, now when I was in this corner, it was a little weird because of, I felt like I had to be quiet. I felt like when I was like after the fight, I stood up and I was like, oh shit, I gotta be quiet. And I was like, oh no, I don't, yeah. And I just started screaming.
Yeah.
But it was a weird feel, like, oh, we're supposed to celebrate quietly. It's supposed to be real quiet in here.
you know, I've heard other fighters.
I'm sorry, but that's just because of, like, everywhere you go, if you're not in there fighting, they're asking you to be quiet. They're asking you, shh, please be quiet. They can hear you. The cameras, the mics will pick up you. They'll hear you. They'll hear everything.
Yeah, I mean, you're not the first fighter I've heard talk about that, where they say, you know what, I actually, you know, it's like, hey, I love the fans, but it actually, it's environment I really like. And, you know, one of the things that I want to say was Mike Perry had said this, that what he did was during his fight was that he started kind of hearing his opponent's corner. And he said, he goes, I heard them kept talking out the same code words. And by about the third round, I figured out everything they were telling their fighter to do.
Yep.
Is that something that you have, that you think that, like, you know, if this fight were to go later on the fight, of that could be something you mentioned about, hey, I hear my corner really well, but is that also part of your thought process of, like, you know what, let me try to take in what they're saying, because I might be able to use that to my advantage at some point.
No, absolutely. I've done that before, actually, like in fights. My third pro fight, I could hear his quarter telling him to do something, and I let him go to do it and shut it down. Like, I let him go to do it and then reversed and got a better position. I got, okay, you want to scream out here? I'm going to pick it up. I'm not a dummy. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun.
And we look forward to seeing your fight next Tuesday night. Dana White's Contender Series, of course, airs live on ESPN Plus, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Sherrod, appreciate the time. Of course, let everyone know anything, follow you on social media, and anything else you want to mention, man.
Yeah, man, I'd like to shout out my gym, Snakehead MMA, my coach, John Wood, and I'd like to give a shout out to my sponsor, Pharma Extracts, here in Las Vegas. Man, they've taken care of me since I started this journey, and I look forward to us traveling to the top together. And if you want to follow me on social media, my Instagram would be Sherrard, Sherrard underscore MMA. And on Twitter, it'd be Sherrard, Sherrard with the letter B at the end. And Facebook, it's just Sherrard Blackledge, BlackLedge.
And there was my conversation with Sherrod Blackledge. Appreciate him taking some time out to talk to me about his preparations of coming up for this fight on Dana White's Contender Series as he tries to secure a UFC contract. You hear him talk about the familiar scene for him as he was in the corner of Jordan Leavitt when Jordan fought earlier this season. Of course, Jordan ultimately got that UFC contract. So looking forward to seeing him on tomorrow's edition of Dana White's Contender Series. Something I will note is we will recap Dana White's Contender Series on Wednesday's edition of the MMA Report podcast. Due to some scheduling changes, me and Daniel are now going to be recording that podcast on Wednesday mornings as opposed to Tuesday late afternoons based on both of our work schedules. So the podcast will probably come out later in the day on Wednesday. So when you wake up on Wednesday morning and you don't see the podcast, the reason is going to be because we had not recorded at that time. So I would imagine that podcast will probably come out, you know, early on Wednesday afternoon. Of course, we're going to take a look back at what happened at UFC Vegas. We'll get you ready for this weekend's MMA. We've got a UFC event and two Bellator events. Bellator has two events. I know one of the news items I saw in relation to that event, Austin Vanderfort is out of that event. I want to say it was MMA Junkie revealed that he tested positive for COVID-19, so send the healing vibes to Austin Vanderfort away. Obviously, you know, really interesting guy, because I believe he only has one fight left on his Bellator contract, so that could be really interesting to see kind of what happens with Austin Vanderfort. I would imagine that would be a fighter that Bellator would not want to lose. So, of course, you know, the most notable fight coming up this weekend with Bellator will be that vacant bantamweight title fight of Juan Archuleta and Patchy Mix. I do like Patchy Mix in that fight. So, you know, look forward to, you know, coverage all throughout this week over at the MMAreport.com. We'll let you know some interviews that I'm going to be you know, posting later on this week. I've got an interview with Corey Cuppy that I did a couple days ago. He fights on next week's Contender Series. So the video portion of that conversation will be up on the MMA Report podcast this week. Look for that probably in the next day or so. That interview will also play here in audio form next week here on the podcast. So you definitely want to check out that. Of course, be sure to go over to MMAreport.com and check out all the video interviews that I do have up there. And of course, I like to say I put this podcast out every Sunday interview edition, but sometimes things are going to come up, and obviously with football season coming up, I'm going to have to start recording this probably on a Friday or Saturday and then get it out there on Sunday. As if you're not aware, I do work for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Radio Network, a part of the broadcast team there. I have been doing work for the Buccaneers since 2004, so another season for me. 2006 was actually my first season on the game day broadcast. 2004 and 2005 season were seasons where I was doing a lot of the player shows, coach shows, things along those lines. So looking forward to this upcoming season. The NFL's crazy. NFL is already here. Starts on Thursday night, so I'll be right in front of my television set on Thursday night watching, I want to say, Chiefs Texans. And then, you know, so looking forward to it. Bucks Saints coming up on Sunday. If you're here in the Tampa Bay area and you want to listen to the Buccaneer Radio Network broadcast, we do air on 98 Rock here in Tampa. So be sure to check us out as 425 kick. So our network pregame show will start at 3:30. So you want to check us out on Sunday. Of course, if you're outside the Tampa Bay area, you want to listen to our broadcast, you can do that on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers mobile app. So that is going to wrap it up for this edition of the MMA Report Podcast interview edition. Don't forget, coming up on Wednesday will be the regular the weekly episode of the MMA Report Podcast. So I am Jason Floyd. Be sure to give me a follow on Twitter at @Jason_Floyd. Also, if you've not subscribed to this podcast, or if you've not left a 5-star review, really would appreciate if you could leave a 5-star review. That does help me out a lot. So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the MMA Report Podcast Interview Edition.
This is a Sitting Ringside with David Penzer quick fix on Radio Influence.
He is a multi-time Ring of Honor Tag Team Champion, multi-time IWGP Junior Tag Team Champion, former NWA World Junior Champion, IWPG Junior Champion, and a 3-time CMLL Super Light Heavyweight Champion, a man with lots of gold, Rocky Romero.
I'm probably a lifer to New Japan, I feel like. You know, I've been here for, you know, since 2011. Nonstop, you know, consistently, you know, so, and then, you know, before that, obviously for many years on and off, you know, I was under contract. So the opportunity really didn't present itself, you know, to go anywhere else. And, I don't think I would have either way, you know, cause I'm pretty happy where I am. And, you know, and like New Japan is like a family to me. And, you know, just kind of different situation, you know, I think for Trent, you know, he had spent some time there and I know it was a difficult decision for him, but you know, as well during this time, but, I, you know, he didn't really have, like, he had some roots, but he didn't have like the roots that go so deep like me there, you know? So, sure. I don't know. So yeah, I mean, yes, that opportunity really didn't present itself because I was under contract, like I said, and it's just different circumstances and situations. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I think I'll probably be a lifer with New Japan.
Sitting Ringside with David Penzer can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.